into One Nation. Trills and Wills with you here. That would be Andy Petrullo and Jordan Wilson. Hey, we are not going to be here next week. I'm just going to give you the heads up right now. Why? Because it's Thanksgiving.
That's a Thanksgiving dance?
That's my favorite holiday. You want to know why?
It's
my favorite. Yeah, I love it.
Wow.
I love fall. Fall's my favorite season. I love the colors of fall. I love Thanksgiving because it's basically the exact same meal that you would have for Christmas, except with the weather still being somewhat decent. Mm. You go for a nice walk. You play the football. You know, the North American style of football, although you could play soccer too. Like, you could still get outdoors. Yeah. I love it. I love the weekend. I love everything about it. Makes me so excited, which leads me to ask you before we get into some real soccer talk.
Soccer talk.
Maybe that's a new, let's just call
I like that.
Soccer talk.
Coin that phrase. I don't soccer think talk? I've never heard it before.
It's soccer mine. Talk?
Coin that. Yeah, copyright. Put that in there. Okay.
Copyright. It's mine.
Wow.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Gotta go with stuffing.
Yes! Yes.
But like, because there's like a little bit of a Caribbean flavor that my mom does with the stuffing.
Oh, what is
yeah,
she
yeah. Because like there's like jerk seasoning. Most people know that. But there's just a little kick to it. So it has a little spice.
Oh.
Sister? Brothers?
Mm.
People?
Bring
that hits
some.
My spirit.
Bring some.
What are you bringing me though? Because I've been begging for the cookies. Your cream. Yeah, I've been begging for months.
I make it sounds very plain, but everyone has a freak out every time they. It's good. My cream cheese cookies, because I can make them just like regular cream cheese, or I can do them lemon flavored, or cranberry flavored, or pumpkin flavored, or red velvet flavor. You just name it. I can do whatever flavor you want. I got it. Cream cheese cookies. But I've also made a pumpkin cheesecake.
Ooh.
I can do that too.
Okay, so
I love pumpkin pie.
Okay, stop. Don't be that person that makes all cream cheese cookies. I make it with a little lemon and pumpkin pie, but cheesecake.
Are you salty?
Yeah, do this. And then I haven't tasted it. I've been salivating every time we talk about these cream cheese cookies.
I'll bring them.
When?
I swear I'll bring them. The next time we do One
Nation.
You're
gonna bring them?
I will bring them. Yes. You bring me some stuffing. I make some good stuffing too, but I have to make veggie stuffing because my mom, a lot of people in my family don't eat meat, so I will make the veggie stuffing. But I'm with you. I love stuffing, and I love pumpkin pie. So there we go. Really excited. Put it in the comments. What do you love?
And if anyone says cranberry sauce, I'm just like, suspect.
That's a weird one for me. I know, my uncle loves it. Every time, he's the only one that'll put the cranberry sauce on his turkey. I'm like, you are the only one. It's weird. I know. Anyways, but we're really excited. So we hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Be with loved ones, friends, family. That's what really matters. Whenever I look at these holidays now, especially as I'm getting older, you know, as a kid, I don't know, I want to eat,
yeah.
I want to play, or I want gifts. I cherish time with my family.
Important.
That's what it's all about.
Really important.
Speaking of cherishing things, these playoff spots, they are cherished. And I'm telling you right now, this, I'm going to repeat myself. I am loving this final stretch of the CPL. By the way, Thanksgiving weekend, final weekend of games before we head into the CPL playoffs. And there is still a great battle going on for that fifth and final spot. York United, Letico Ottawa was a huge matchup. York, they have not been good. What's been happening? Winless in their last three. We're like, what is going on here? And then they pull off the victory. 88th minute. They get the goal over Letico Ottawa. So now they're 2 points up on them. York right now is sitting in a playoff spot. The way they were celebrating, Jordan, on the sideline. I will never take that away from anyone. You celebrate because that's how much it meant to them. That was a big win.
Huge. I'll start by saying there's no better person to score a goal than Kevin DeSantos. He works hard. He started on the bench. He's a guy that for me has stepped up this season and shown his worth. And then in a big game, a must win, he started on the bench, but then he comes on with that attitude, just free flowing, ready to make runs. And he ends up being the benefactor and rewarded for all the work that he does, the way that he trains, to the point I had to message him, right? I'm on the media side now, but I had to say, brother, if it had to be anyone else, I'm glad it was you, because he just works so hard. That's, and that's a testament to like his character. But that little salad that he gave Espejo and then slipped it past Nate Ingham in the 88th minute, those are the type of goals you talk about years to come. And if he moves on or goes to other teams or whatever, he'll always remember that moment. But York United, in the nick of time, Trills, get that fifth place spot. They're up by 2 points. They go to Vancouver with everything to play for. It's in their hands. By the way, this is a Vancouver side that is looking dangerous.
They beat Pacific.
Dangerous.
I was like, what is happening?
Man, they're galvanized. I don't know what's going on with that group. Like, if the season was the past 8 games, they're right up there at the top. Wow. So they figured out, at least these guys are playing for their contract. They're figuring out what they want to do for next season. But York United is in their hands with 1 game to go. And I think the bigger topic as well is just Ottawa, because they look poor. They have to go out and beat Forge to have a chance of making playoffs, that fifth place spot. And I just don't know how they're going to do that. I've seen them play. I've seen the players that they have. They just look like the life has been sucked out of them.
But it may not matter. Do you know what I mean? Because just like you said, if York go into, you know, if they play Vancouver on Friday, if they win, York has clinched. So Atletico playing Forge on Saturday, at that point, it won't matter. But just speaking of Vancouver, 3 wins in a row. And I know I speak to some, you know, the players on teams that have been eliminated from playoff contention. And some of them are like, they kind of bristle when you call them spoilers because you're out of the playoffs. There's no way you're going to make it. But you can spoil either someone else's chances of making the playoffs or their ability to finish somewhere in the standings. Like Pacific is trying to finish second. Because that would mean a matchup with Cavalry, and if Pacific could win that first round of the playoffs, they would go straight to the final and host. Vancouver's like, nah. He's not going to let that happen. So they're playing spoiler.
Yeah.
Right?
And the rivalry plays a huge factor there, right? You got Manny Aparicio first game of the season when they played shushing the fans. And then it was weird seeing Wera Diaz playing for Vancouver celebrating when Vasco Fry scored at... in Pacific at the stadium, and you're just like, what's going on? But this Vancouver side, dangerous players. Dangerous.
I don't want to bury the lead here because as much as we're praising York, and as we should, they're the ones who won. They put themselves, as we mentioned, in the driver's seat for Friday. But Atletico Ottawa, what is that, like 5 games now where they've given up a late goal, which has cost them crucial points? And someone who's a veteran in this league, he's a veteran goalkeeper, he's the leader of Atletico Ottawa. Up there is Nathan Ingham, and this is what he had to say after that match.
Grow up. It's the first thing I said to the locker room when I got in there, when everyone's got their heads hanging. I feel like we've been feeling sorry for ourselves for a month. We have no time for it. I just told them to pray, whoever you believe in, that we get Vancouver to do us a favor, and we prepare this week like that's what's going to happen. And we show up and we take care of business. I don't think at this point we deserve another opportunity, but if we're given it, I hope to God the locker room wakes up and we get it done, because it feels like a lot of guys are in the wrong profession right now if we can't turn things around.
Ouch. Ouch.
Ooh.
So, of course, I feel like the most obvious question, as a teammate, how are you feeling with what he just said?
For me, I would be challenged, but I'm sure there are many teammates of Nate Ingham right now that are kissing their teeth, looking at him, just like, there's a bit of disconnect. Well, we have to just paint the picture though, right? Because Nate Ingham, leader in the league, I played with him for a year, friend of mine, competitor, a real goalkeeper. What I mean by that is if we win 4-1, that one goal haunts him.
Of course.
Like, but keepers are different. They're different beings. They're different creatures. They really are. Because, look, all the game that's happening, 80% of the game is in front of them. Then maybe 20%, and that's me even being generous, is in that box. So everything that a good game or a bad game is all defined in that 18-yard box, what they're doing. If they can make a big save and keep the team in it. But you work hard in a game to keep your team alive, and you go to the 80th minute, 85th minute, and you feel good. And then a goal is scored by you. It is just so deflating. Mm-hmm. And I know Nate personally. So I know that this is something that is bothering him. But let's just paint the picture, Trills.
Yeah.
When they played Calgary 6 games ago, 97th minute, Cavs scored. Ugh. Vancouver in the 91st.
Ugh.
Then Pacific, that was a 1-1 game. Actually, Atletico Ottawa scored to tie it up. But Halifax, 94th minute, they got scored on. Valor, 94th minute as well. And then York at the 88th minute. So you have all this confidence going into the game. Hey, we're going to get a point. We've defended well. Nate Ingham saying, yes, keep it going, guys. And look at all these late goals that have been scored against them. So this is the frustration that we're seeing. This is someone who has the confidence, and the rug has just been taking right under him. And he's looking at his team last year, who they pride themselves on how they defended. You saw a bit of it this year. You looked like, oh, they're the same Ottawa. They added a little flair. Now they can score a little bit, but they're still defending. And then just wide open the last bit when they needed to be secure. So that is a lot of frustration. Are there some facts that he said? You can never go out publicly and get at your team. You can't. I don't think he did that, but he definitely flirted with the line. But I understand his frustration because all those moments just really hurt that much more because he is the goalkeeper. He's the one that maybe you're expected to make that last ditch effort and that last save. And look at all these times. Look at all these logs.
Yeah, and with goalkeepers, oftentimes when you win, no one's talking about the goalkeeper.
True.
But when you lose, you're the one that just gets completely blasted. Right? So you're never really the one credited for wins, but you're definitely the one blamed for losses. It's a really tough position. I've always said the goalkeeper, the goalie, it's often the most loneliest position in a team sport. I think what I've been hearing from a lot of people is, you know, they like what Ingham said, but there's a difference when you're pointing the finger at teammates saying, I've told them to grow up, or, you know, then kind of, you know, go on and say what you said to them versus we need to, you know, grow up with this. We need to be better. A lot of people like the we, include yourself, as opposed to maybe the finger pointing in public. I don't know.
If he was to do it back, I'm sure he would want to say we. But I also think that has a part to do with the position as well.
Sure.
Well, like because of where he's playing, right? He's looking at everything and he's seeing it and he's like, come on, this is a chance we should have scored or we should have been dominating this game. When you look at Atletico Ottawa play, they have enough they had enough chances against York. I thought York was better on the day, but they had enough to score or be ahead in the game. And then when that moment where Kevin DeSantos comes in, Jeremy Gagner-Lapierre plays on the ball and he cuts in, he megs Espejo and slides in. He's just like, what's going on? He feels helpless. So that for me was just a bit of a helpless cry. That was him saying like, we have to get it together. And now it is in the dire hours. Like it's almost too late, but they have to get a win to stay alive. And he's just like, if it's not now, then it will be never.
Yeah, it's really tough. And it's, again, this is so crazy, this league, other than, I mean, and that's where maybe you do, like you gotta give Cavalry and Forge the credit they deserve because, okay, fine, there are eight teams in this league, but they have been consistent. They are perennial contenders. You see how tough it is. Even when Pacific went and won, they're the only ones to have disrupted Forge and they went and won the title. Like it still can be a little bit up and down, even though they've made the playoffs. And then you see for Atletico Ottawa, you go from winning the regular season title last year, you go to being in the final to now struggling. You know, there's no such thing as a team because you did well one year guaranteeing that success moving into the next season. You just don't know what you're going to get, which is why I do give Cavalry and Forge credit too, because they've just been perennial contenders. Halifax, so 5 years in the league, and yeah, I get it, the bubble year, where they did make it to the final, but that was the bubble year. And here they are. So not only, the worst they can finish is fourth, they're in the playoffs. But they've actually guaranteed themselves a home game.
This deserves like a couple of
years. Yes, this is so exciting for that fan base to get that home game. That is something that's pretty special.
I think it's great for the league as well. Just the optics. Like you get the fans coming in. Like it feels,
call that parody.
Yeah, it just feels like a great environment, a place you want to play. Even if you're traveling as an away team, going to Wanderers Grounds, it's just that gives that pro vibe. People yelling, the wet grass, whatever it might be. If it's a night game as well, scenes.
You know what's crazy though? So hold on a second. So if Hal, okay, so.
Talk us through
it. If they beat Valor, follow the camera. If they beat Valor, Forge loses to Ottawa, and Pacific fails to beat Cavalry, they could actually finish second. This is what's crazy. So they're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Worst they could do is fourth. They still have a shot at finishing second.
Depending on the other games, yes. And so what we might be looking at, maybe we're getting a bit too ahead of ourselves, but what we could be seeing,
getting ahead of myself,
is Halifax Wanderers hosting a final.
What?
Yeah. If they go and go, like,
but that's what I mean. If they finish second and then, you know, if they beat Cavalry and they
on
go
on the day, it's what? A one game.
What?
We're pulling up.
Now, we talk a lot about Cavalry and that, would we say poor start? Slow start.
Slow.
But wasn't it the same for Halifax? Like, we kept calling
Literally
them the Halifax Wanderers for the longest time, right? Because just coming on up and...
Drawners, yeah, they were drawing. Yeah,
yeah, they were drawing so much, and we're like, what's going on here?
Turned it around.
Look at... I mean, credit where credit's due. And I know at the end of the regular season, we'll probably do, like, a great dissection of the season. Look at each team. I mean, you've just got to give credit to Halifax.
Gotta be proud of them. To book it in with one game left, and now Patrice Geyser can go play as U21s and get those minutes. But that's a game, obviously, they want to win. But I think it's attainable.
So here's the thing, though. So Halifax, they beat Forge 2-1. And Nathan Ingham wasn't the only player over the weekend to get something off of his chest. Halifax was awarded a penalty that was converted by Dan Nimick. And Forge felt there was a dive there by Massimo Farron.
There was a dive.
We have talked and we've sprinkled it in a little bit here and there this past season. Just, you know, players being a little bit frustrated with the officiating. And if we thought that there were hints, if we thought that there was subliminal messaging about their thoughts of the officiating, Kyle Becker.
No subliminal.
Was not mincing words.
For me, it was a great game of football. There's two teams who had a great first half. I think the guys wanted to play. And then something that we've seen over the last 5 years, which is just shocking, these refs are seemingly getting worse and worse. And there's really nothing much else to talk to. You have two teams who wanted to come out and do something. Unbelievable atmosphere here in Halifax. And it's another game that's just absolutely ruined because the ref wants to make it above himself. And it's week in and week out, we see this. And no one talks about it. And it just gets worse. And no one holds them accountable. They got a guy at the top who just acts with impunity, thinks he's special. He comes into every single team, shakes everyone's hand, and then they just act like they're bigger than everything else. And it's crazy. You see it week in and week out. This isn't just a Forge thing, by the way. This isn't just because they missed that PK today. It happens to both sides. It's calls throughout the game that they're blatantly just miss, and then there's makeup calls every single time, and they take it about themselves. Like, they're handing out bench yellow cards left and right. For what? What is the point? It's crazy, and I think as a player, you're just sick of it. You have two teams who literally, every single call come in and be like, well, missed that one. How is that happening? It's everything. It's terrible. So there's really nothing much to talk about the game. We can talk about that, otherwise I'm good.
Yeah, two games in a row where there's two penalties that have no business being called. So you can talk about formations, tactics, everything. Mitch, the bottom line is, for 5 years, everyone's doing a great job of making sure to move this league forward. And in this season, and this isn't a Forge thing, it's all across the season. Some things aren't moving forward, and it's not good.
I believe that's the definition of not holding back. The official that he was referring to, of course, Isaac Raymond, Canada Soccer Manager of Refereeing. Do you think Kyle Becker went too far?
I don't. I sense his frustration, because this isn't just a single game he's referring to. This isn't just a single season he's referring to. It's an accumulation of calls throughout the 5 years. And that is a player who's been in the league, been a great player, played nearly almost every game for Forge. And so he's been in contact with these referees. He's seen these decisions. And also, it's a carbon copy. When Forge and Halifax played earlier this season, 97th minute, Riley Fratz, like, it's a dive as well. Or Tristan Henry swears on his mother he didn't touch him. And there's a dive as well that causes Halifax to get the 3 points in a 2-1 pen. So it's the same situation here, where Hajabapur, he doesn't catch Massimo Farron, but Farron does a great job at selling the call. And for me, I know people are talking about, oh, be honest. It's a part of the game, right? Like, if you hit me, or I think that you're going to hit me, and I jump and die, and I would do this. I didn't do it a lot, but I would do this as a player where I know the foul's coming. And you kind of embellish. You kind of just sell it a little bit. Every sport does this. Basketball, every sport. You kind of just, you know it's coming, you sell it. Is that wrong? I think in ways referees just have to be with the times. But I think as everything grows, the CPL grows, the competition grows, the talent grows, it's difficult for referees to also be on that same wavelength. Like, I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I think when we're looking at it, I know it's a huge thing. I know they've affected games, and I'm literally a fresh player. Like, I've just retired. I'm still upset by some decisions that referees have made in games.
Yeah, you bring it up.
Like, 100% I do. Because it hurts. You work all week.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a referee makes a call. It changes the whole complexion of the game. You're like, yo, what's going on? So I don't think he was too harsh. I don't think he was slating anyone. I think that the way he said it, it's just bringing attention to it. What I will say, he mentions that no one's talking about it. And I know for a fact, Gareth Wheeler, Jordan Wilson, Christian Jack, we bring it up. But it's also a situation where how many referees we have in the CPL.
Maybe
like,
he
we
also,
can't go in.
Yeah, like behind the scenes, maybe he's saying like this isn't something, not that I'm trying to put words in Kyle Becker's mouth, but like maybe behind the scenes, he doesn't feel like there's an urgency to rectify it. Because just like you've been saying, this is a league that's growing. We have seen the talent grow. We're seeing the number of players who have played in pretty, you know, strong top leagues in Europe now coming and playing in the CPL. We are seeing growth. It's 5 years in. We're seeing changes to the rules, changes to the playoffs. Our coverage is getting better. Like, everything is evolving. And suddenly it's like, oh, but we still feel like this is left behind. And I can say, as somebody who pretty early on was even covering Major League Soccer, this was also a topic in Major League Soccer.
It will always be a topic.
I mean, first of all, referees, you're right. Referees will always be a topic. But I do remember, even in the early ons, so not that I'm trying to justify or say, well, this is the way it is, so just deal with it. But this is typically what happens. When a league starts to grow, there usually are aspects of it that are slow to keep up. So perhaps you do need players who are, you know, been in the league for a while, who are veterans, who are leaders, to turn around and say, unacceptable. And this is a league, yes, it's also about developing players, coaches, you know, medical staff, and referees. So let's not leave them behind. There's still work to be done. But I also think that when a league starts to grow, it's also inevitable. One aspect just kind of lags a little bit, but again, not an excuse. You got to call them out on it.
And I think the question is how. I think when I'm listening to Kyle Becker speak, It's the same conversation I'm having over and over, that referees need to get better. And we've mentioned Isaac Raymer being the head of Canada Soccer, and he appoints and he's at games. And that process needs to be better in terms of who gets the referee, mm-hmm. How qualified they are. And I guess getting these refs, because this league is growing, everyone's getting better, and these games are so exciting. Like, watching it this season, I was even thinking, like, playing, obviously, it would have been phenomenal. But watching every week all these games, edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. But as that grows, referees need to grow as well. And the process, I think it just needs to be a how conversation needs to get into it. Because I think right now it's still players, clubs, then referees. It needs to be a more communal conversation. It needs to be everyone coming together and figuring out a way to have referees be better, so they don't affect the game in a negative way.
Maybe that'll start that
hopefully.
Conversation. So let me ask you this. As the league continues to grow and it wants to bring in technology, would VAR be a positive step forward for the CPL? Do you want to see VAR first or goal line technology if you had a...
I'd say VAR, because okay. I can't remember many times this season. If there's one, maybe, but that a goal line technology would be used. There weren't many of, oh, it's over the line, off the line, whatever. I remember 2021, that would have been a situation with Pacific, when Calgary hosted Pacific in that semifinal game, maybe. But I think VAR, because there's also some decisions in terms of yellow cards, red cards, handballs.
Yeah.
There are many. If this situation was looked at with VAR in terms of Halifax and Forge, Massimo Ferran, think Massimo gets a yellow card. Also, you can review the offside that happened before for Halifax Wanderers and Dan Nimick scoring. Then that gets reviewed, and I think it gets overturned as not being an offside goal. So I think VAR, but I also think the use of that, right? Nowadays with footy, there's 11 players on both sides. There's managers you got to keep track for. There's four officials. Like, there's a lot of things they have to do. I think there's a lot of eyes that are happening on the game, and you have four sets of eyes that are looking and trying to orchestrate and conduct things. VR, I feel like, needs to be used.
Okay. By the way, a topic for another day. Do you say VAR or VAR?
Both. It's like tomato, tomato. You can say both, no?
Pecan, pecan.
You can't say pecan. You say pecan?
Stop it. You know what can't be
pecan.
Both, but it's a little weird. You're either a manager of a team and you're going to coach the team, or you're not.
Ooh.
I'm still so confused as to what's going on with Toronto FC and John Herdman. It's finally been confirmed, something that we touched on in our last show, that he'll probably just coach the final game of the season. Even though he's officially taken over October 1st, he is immersing himself. He and his coaching staff, they're immersing themselves. The coaching staff was announced on October 2nd. So what that really means is, I guess, they're just observing. And maybe, again, I just find this so strange. Listen, to Toronto FC, if the guy's going to coach the last game of the season, like, just say it. Sometimes this kind of not
limbo?
Saying, you know, being secretive, being weird about it, then you make it weird when it just doesn't have to be weird. But on the weekend, it was another loss for Toronto FC against FC Cincinnati, 3-2. I mean, the end of that first half was wild. It was 2-2, scoring goals left, right, and center, also getting the brace. But it ends up being 3-2 the final. Video emerged, Lorenzo Insigne dealing with an injury, not playing. He's in his box, and he's arguing with fans. Some fans who were there said some drunk fans were attacking him. He was responding, defending himself, whatever it is. This is also the second time that we've seen this, right? The Mark Anthony Kay getting into a verbal altercation with the fan, and now we're seeing Lorenzo Insigne. John Herdman has said that he's looking forward to working with Insigne.
It'd be a privilege.
It would be a privilege, and he's trying to, like, mend that. Do you even see Insigne as being part of the plans moving forward, knowing that it's going to take some sort of behemoth trade to get him out of here, because it looks like Lorenzo Insigne is still going to be with the team next year unless someone takes on that massive contract? I mean, what kind of, I guess, challenges face Herdman with Insigne?
I laugh because that's the biggest challenge yet, yeah, that Insigne will deal with. Yeah, you have Alphonso Davies, who's a mega superstar and a big name for Canada, up and coming. But Insigne, like, he comes with his own prestige. And also, what you're backing and what you're coming into is a horrendous season. Like, horrendous. Like, you're looking at this guy, you're putting him in the category with a Seba, with a Giovinco, and coming to the city, and it's just it's flat. It's well flat. So how do you approach a superstar who hasn't performed, and you're a new coach, you can't give him special attention, but you kind of need to give him special attention.
But that's also the problem, because off field, he has been given special attention. This is what he's used to, and now you're going to tell him he's not going to get it?
This will be John Herdman, by far, his hardest task. Because how do you do that? Look, already, once you put a dollar sign next to someone's name, that's already attention. That's sure. It. When you're making 5-6 times more than the average player, whatever it might be, math is not my strong point, but he's making a significant amount than most players. And you're going to tell him that he has to do certain things like everyone else. It takes a special personality to want to buy in. Already the season that Lorenzo Insigne has had, John Herdman has a tall order to try to get him on the same page. How he does it, I don't know. If someone could do it, do I believe it could be John? For sure. But there's so many things that have to happen for him to get on that page. And I just don't know if that's a turnaround that could happen in a few months.
I will say this. He's either entering or maybe a surpass. I don't know. I haven't done the numbers. But I think it's worth looking into that. Lorenzo Insigne is looking like he's playing the same amount of games, percentage maybe even, of a Jozy Altidore. Remember, Jozy Altidore was criticized for not playing a lot. Difference is Jozy Altidore made half of what Insigne made. Oh, and Jozy Altidore helped bring a championship.
And Jozy wasn't Jozy was a big dog, but he wasn't the main guy.
Because you had Seba, Bradley, these guys.
Jozy was he was a heck of a sprinkle.
But I'm talking about percentage of games played versus like output.
Yes.
I mean, okay, let's have a little bit of fun here in the final few minutes of the show. On that whole train of VAR, I'm going to ask you if you agree with the statement. So you're either going to say check complete, you're going to say check complete, or you're going to say under review. After 6 goals in 8 games and 14 for the season, as we head on over to the Vancouver Whitecaps, Brian White will win MLS Golden Boot.
I guess I'm going to put that in review. You think he has it? It's in the bag?
3 games left. I mean, you have to say there's 3 guys tied with 15 goals. So you have to remember. So right now there are 3 guys who are leading the league with 15 goals. He's at 14. He has 6 and 8.
So you're telling me that he's going to be the Golden Boot after the next 3 games?
I think he can do it.
So you're saying check?
I'm saying check complete. Brian White.
You might know something different. You know him personally.
Golden Boot.
He's bagging a hat trick? A brace?
Get it? Here we go.
I like it.
You're going under review. All right. CF Montreal's 2-2-12 road record is not a major cause for concern.
We got to skip this question. Absolutely.
That's under review.
What?
Is not a major. Of course, it's a cause for concern.
It is. I read that wrong.
Yeah. Under review.
Under review.
And I don't know if I liked Hernan Losada's response, really, because it felt a little ho-hum to me. If I could pull it up, where he basically just said, well, you know, a lot of teams struggle on the road. So
cop
I guess
out.
That's just the way it is.
Cop out.
Yeah. Where is this here? I save these things. You can't hide from me. That's what I addressed it as the way it is and accept we're not good enough on the road this season. It's a tendency around the league. We didn't find ways to be better on the road, and most teams are stronger at home. So what? You got to be good on the road. Don't like it. Do we have one more here? Let's bring in our boy Wheels here, right? Gareth Wheeler looked like an amateur magician while unveiling the CPL shield on Saturday.
That's under review. Look, he did great. When he put the gloves
that
on.
That shield looked nice, man.
Clean.
Wow.
And people are telling me to touch it. I said, I couldn't touch it. I didn't earn it, but it's nice.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, I didn't earn that. I'm not touching it. But Wheels looked nice with the white gloves.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wanted him to keep it on for the whole show because I was like, this added to his look.
I like that. The gloves, respect, but I'd be all over that. Like, just like I'm all over this show. Thanks for joining us, everyone, on One Nation. Always appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.